You can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with a Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Well, I certainly called that one right. Of a judge's suburban home. Wait a minute.
This wasn't a cartel hideout. This was the collapse of integrity behind a courtroom door. This wasn't corruption from the outside. It was rotted from within, signed, sealed, and protected by a man in robes. Don't leave. What comes next is the part they tried to bury. And if you believe justice must be on the side of the people, like this video.
Welcome back. The Trump administration, in a memo to Congress yesterday, said that the U.S. now is engaged in a formal, quote, armed conflict with terrorist drug cartels.
At 5:42 a.m., the streets of Cobb County, Georgia, were still quiet, the kind of quiet that hides a storm. The hallway lights flickered once, then boots hit the floor. FBI and ICE tactical teams moved through Judge Marcus Hale's home like a shadow cutting through glass. No shouts, no warnings, only the sound of precision. The weight of men who already knew what they were about to find. A steel door broke under the battering ram. The echo rolled through the house like thunder. Family photos hung crooked on the walls. A smiling man beside the flag he'd sworn to defend. But trust had already rotted behind that smile.
Pardon? Okay. All right. Very good. All righty. Okay. I was having some problems with it there. I don't know what was going on. Okay. We're back. That was so much of a clip. This here may have been AI. But Pastor Hal's not AI. And Trump's not AI. Trump warns kamikaze Democrats will take down the country if they have to. President Donald Trump is warning that Democrats will take down the country in their opposition to Make America Great Again agenda, which includes renewing its economy, protecting its borders, and eliminating corruption. Because they're kamikazes, Trump says. He said, I think they're kamikaze pilots. I just got back from Japan and talked about the kamikaze pilots. I think these guys are kamikazes. They'll take down the country if they have to. What do you think about that, Hal?
Well, I think it's very possible and even plausible that, they'll try and do anything like that. They've been, doing what they can when they was in power under Biden and even... Clinton's and Obama and all that, even this closing down the government, they didn't care how bad they made America suffer as long as they tried to stall any good that President Trump could do for this country during that time and get everybody's focus off what the Democrats were doing behind the scenes and putting it on, the Republican Party and everything. But, the American public is wise enough. They realize the Democrat Party don't care a thing for them. They're just out to meet their own needs, which is globalization of this our country and everything, and destroying our Constitution and our sovereignty, getting rid of Christianity, and destroying the family unit, and promoting abortions and abominations. The American public is finally waking up to them, and the sooner we strip them of the power they're using to destroy this country, the better off we'll be.
Absolutely. Now the Supreme Court has been hearing the cases on the tariffs, and of course, again, we have enough problems right now with the Democrats. And by the way, the economy in some places is not as good as others. Here, they're talking more and more about, like in New York City, we're going to watch New York implode, aren't we? New York City's going to implode upon itself. Is there any place ever that that communism has ever improved anything. The living standards and the economy of the people and the freedoms, has it ever done any good at all?
No, I heard years ago Venezuela was a nice place to go to, prosperous and a vacation place, but then communism got in there and stripped it bare and made it just a real hellhole for, people to live in and everything. It just, it's a place to avoid now, with gangs and drugs and murders and everything else like that. It's communism ruins everything that they get into, and they also end up killing the people that what Hillary Clinton used to call the necessary idiots. All the people that they used to be traitors to their own country to help the communists get in there. Once they got in, then they killed the people they used as traitors to overthrow that country. And so all the money that these corrupt politicians are getting from the Chinese to hurt this country, all the bribes and everything else like that, if the Chinese were to take over, they'd take back the money out of the banks that they gave to these politicians, plus put those politicians against the wall and shoot them. That's what they do in these countries that they overthrow. And, and the news media, one preacher used to call the public news media the prostitute press, because they completely sold themselves out to the Democrat Party and, helped spread their lies and everything else to the American people. And that's something else the American people have to get used to, that CNN really stands for Communist News Network. And they'll lie to the people because that's what they're told to do by the people that own them and stuff,
Well, you were talking about Venezuela. It's the hub. Do you know that they actually, out of Venezuela, they organized the election fraud, overturning elections in 171 countries. And here, again, we played that clip yesterday. That's one of the major things that they're involved in. And then the corruption is unbelievable, and the drug dealing. Now, here, one of the tariffs that Trump has put on these countries, he's put a tariff on for the amount of drugs they come in and, that are being brought into America, okay? In other words, but here now that the Supreme Court is hearing this case, and and I'm afraid he's not even getting complete support from those in the Republican Party. Trump was the one that taught the Republicans. He taught them how to have some spine, how to have a little backbone, how you can win if you'll only stand and fight and not back down. And it looked like some of them were learning that, but now you've got this thing about, and some of them think that he's not right on the tariffs, but he is right on the tariffs. Other presidents in the past have used these tariffs, and here, I don't know, they say that they're a tax. I don't believe that tariffs are a tax. I believe that basically that they're a penalty in such a way, because yeah, you can have...
trying to level the playing field, that's all, he wants America to have a fair amount of income and everything else like that the other countries are getting from America.
That's right. All he wants a level playing field. Whatever tariffs you put on us, we put on you, right? For all of these years, Americans have had to pay a lot more for things than they should have had to pay, especially when it comes to medical treatment and so on and so forth. But other things, too, because of these tariffs, because there was not a level playing field, you're right. And so he's trying to do it for America. And, of course, the Communist Party, what they did is the way they sold us out. Like, did you know that the one country that's got probably the world's largest or one of the largest supply of rare earth minerals. Do you know what that country is?
China?
No, America. We have the right here in America, but the EPA, the Democrats, have got it to the point where we can't mine them, where you cannot mine it. Do you know what it took the last, how long it took to get the last go-ahead to be able to permit, to be able to earth minerals here in America? Took 28 years. Okay. And see, what happens is deals like, remember when Clinton made a deal with China that, here we had the cleanest burning coal. And remember Hillary said, we're going to shut down all the coal mines and import our coal in from China, which was dirty burning coal, not clean. You don't suppose the Clintons were getting massive kickbacks, do you?
Oh, not them. They're too honest.
Yeah. And that's just the way dirty politics has been working. We've had, that's been going on for such a long time. And Trump's not perfect by any means, but he's trying to do the right things. And, boy, people better get behind him.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, like in New York, when those people voted for Mondami, they made their bed, and now they're going to have to sleep in it. That's all I can say about that.
Well, clearly unfit for the gavel, this Judge James Boasberg, another one, corrupt judge, the one that's just manages to catch so many of the Trump cases, But U.S. Representative Brandon Gill of Texas filed articles of impeachment against radical activist Judge James Boasberg for his role in the Arctic Frost probe in which Joe Biden's Justice Department sought phone records to spy on Republicans in Congress. This guy knew what he was doing was unconstitutional, and it was a crime. He knew that, okay? Mm-hmm. Judge Boasberg abused his power by weaponizing the judiciary against critics of Biden's regime, Gill said. As a part of the Arctic Frost investigation, Judge Boasberg signed off on frivolous non-disclosure orders to conceal the fact that sitting U.S. senators were being surveyed. Not only was the action egregiously improper, it was a gross violation of separation of powers. Judge Boasberg is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, is unfit for office, and should be impeached. This appears to be the tip of the iceberg, he added. More information is coming out daily about the extent of Judge Boasberg's involvement in Arctic Frost. The congressman's resolution accused Boasberg of one count of abuse of power. Gill told Fox News Digital that Boasberg has compromised the impartiality of the judiciary and created a constitutional crisis. He shamelessly weaponized his power against the political opponents, including Republican members of Congress who were faithfully serving the American people with their jurisdiction. Judge Boasberg was an accomplice in an egregious Arctic Frost scandal where he equipped the Biden DOJ to spy on Republican senators. They're talking about that, but altogether there were over 400 different people and organizations that they spied on, including people in the media, okay, that they were spying on. Judge Boasberg was an accomplice in the egregious Arctic Frost scandal where, again, he equipped the Biden DOJ to spy on Republican senators. His lack of integrity makes him clearly unfit for the gavel. I am proud to once again introduce articles of impeachment against Judge Boasberg to hold him accountable for his high crimes and misdemeanors. He goes on to say that Arctic Frost was the vehicle by which FBI agents and DOJ prosecutors could improperly investigate the entire Republican political apparatus and Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Jack Grassley of Iowa. This is clearly a fishing expedition. Among those targeted by the Biden Justice Department was Senator Ted Cruz, who called it a witch hunt in Biden's own Watergate scandal. They launched Arctic Frost, this witch hunt. They launched it 3 days after Donald Trump launched his reelection campaign to be reelected to the presidency. This was all about politics, Cruz said. And Arctic Frost, I think, is the Biden Department's Justice Watergate. It is pure weaponizing, going after the political opponents. And I think Biden, DOJ, needs to be held accountable. This is about 100 times worse than Watergate. It's about 100 times worse. Nixon didn't even have to do that. He was way ahead in the polls, okay? He never had to do that. It would have been a smart. And all they did was what? To break in to find out what they knew, what their strategy. They didn't do. And that wasn't on all of the Democrats. That was just on his opponent. In fact, we had G. Gordon Liddy. I had G. Gordon Liddy here on the radio program some years ago. We talked about the whole thing went down. Anyhow, I think I might open the phone lines to take some calls. What do you think?
Good idea.
Okay. You ready for that, Style?
Always ready.
All right, let's open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Should we say, like, if you're a smart person and you're living in New York City, you're very rare. We'd like to have any smart people that live in New York City give us a call. In fact, we can almost say that, too, where it comes to New Jersey or Virginia because of the elections of last week, right? A week ago last week. To me, boy, I'm going to and I saw a lot of ignorance out there. People didn't get it, did they? So 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Who do we have?
We have Jack in San Diego.
All righty. Hey, Jack, you're in the air.
Well, isn't it interesting with during the shutdown, the multiple occasions that between the judges and Congress and the president, they're trying to come up with more money for SNAP. And during this whole process, nobody decides to go to the Federal Reserve and get the money. Have you noticed that the Federal Reserve never cuts a check in these types of situations? They're supposed to be working for us, part of the government, and yet they never do anything for us.
Well, it's because they're not federal at all. The federal role, they're not federal. They are a private banking institution that has got a chokehold on the politicians out there in the banking system. Style, do you have that song, The Federal Reserve Isn't Federal at All?
Yeah, well, yeah. We've played that song before, and that's not my point. Yeah. My point is that Trump is not really beholden to anybody. He could make an issue of this, that the money was right there for SNAP, but they don't want to go to the Federal Reserve for the money, and they've got the money, and they print the money because it's Federal Reserve notes. But the other part that I find that's interesting that nobody ever talks about when it comes to the Federal Reserve, have you ever seen them a party to a lawsuit? Never.
No, and I've never seen them be audited either.
They've never been audited. These guys operate in secret. And they've never been a party to a lawsuit. They're exempt. And President Trump found out real quick who has the power. It wasn't Trump, it's the Federal Reserve. He was not able to fire the chairman of the Federal Reserve System. So I just think the American people need to pay more attention to the Federal Reserve, and that Trump needs to do more to put pressure on them, at least audit the Federal Reserve. But in times of crisis, why not make an issue out of, okay, we're going to go to the Federal Reserve, and this is Trump now speaking, and we're going to ask them to cut a check for the balance of the money we need for SNAP. Let's stop the secrecy. And the other part, too, is who are the owners of the Federal Reserve? We know it's a private institution. We know it's a private currency, and that we know that the shareholders are bankers. But we don't know exactly what banks are involved and what's their ownership stake. And my understanding is there's even foreign banks that have an ownership stake in the Federal Reserve.
Let me ask you a question, Jack.
Trump puts it out there once and for all.
Let me ask you a question. What has happened in the past? There's been a couple presidents that have wanted to go off the Federal Reserve and go back to U.S. Treasury dollars, U.S. Treasury, and not Federal Reserve notes of debt.
Right, that's constitutional money.
So what's happened to those presidents?
Well, I couldn't tell you who they were or what happened to them. No.
Well, one of them was JFK.
You know, I'm listening. I'd like to learn about that.
JFK was one. He was the first one. And he said, we're going to go off that. He announced that we're going to go back to U.S. Treasury. And of course, things didn't end well with him. The other one who said that when he was talking about it, he was saying we need to consider doing that was Ronald Reagan. And then shortly after, he gets shot. And then you didn't hear no more about it after that. So,
well, you know, it was to me, there was no coincidence that when Congress created the Federal Reserve, the year was 1913, and that was the same year Congress gave us the income tax. And I know Trump wants to get rid of the income tax. I don't think he necessarily has to get rid of the Federal Reserve and the work they do. What he has to do is he has to bring it in to be under the government, more transparency, and they have to be audited. The currency has to go back to United States Treasury notes and things like that. I mean, there's a function for a central bank. There's also a function to make sure it doesn't become political. But you don't operate it in secrecy. And you don't, I mean, I've never heard anybody talk about the fact that the Federal Reserve has never been a party to a lawsuit. That's not right.
Well, yeah, it's like there's been a number of people have tried to have brought it out and talked about it and just never went any place. And now there just seems to be too much of a death hold upon the country. But we've talked about it here on numerous occasions.
Yeah. So, I just was thinking about the SNAP issue and feeding the people. And I was just thinking, gee, how easy would it be for the Fed just to cut a check and make up the difference that we didn't have for SNAP, and everybody gets their money, everybody's happy. But, you know, these guys are so greedy and so cheap, they wouldn't even make that offer. And nobody would ask them. And that's not right.
Do you know what common sense teaches you? Here's what common sense teaches you. Now, where is the greatest source of wisdom and common sense you'll find anywhere? It's
well,
right here in the King.
A lot of common sense in the Bible.
That's it, the King James Bible. Now, in that King James Bible, Who is it that God tells expressly to feed the hungry and house the homeless and clothe the naked? He gives a certain, a certain group that charge. That's the church. It's up for the church to do these things and not government. Government is supposed to handle government. Our government has gotten way, way, way too big. Our government has no business at all in that. It's got no business effect taxing, especially taxing church. But, you know, in other areas...
I hear what you're saying, so let me leave you on this note. I think that the greatest threat that we're facing that's very near, it's on the horizon, and that is from AI, and that AI will, for a lot of people, become their new God and their new religion.
Well, that's happening in a sense because you've already got an AI church, and there's a lot of things that are happening out there that, again, this is all a sign of the times, the end times that we're living in. But one of the areas where government has no business at all, and that's in the marriage and the family. The government has no business in giving out marriage certificates. They really shouldn't. That belongs to the church. But people have forgotten their God. They have forgotten their God.
Right.
And so many of these 501c3 churches are confused about, they try to mix government with God, about who's really in charge, okay?
And, have you talked about Elon Musk and the stockholders are giving him a pay package bonus of $1 trillion?
I heard about that.
Here's the kicker. Part of the pay package for him to get the full $1 trillion, and that's with a T, a trillion, he has to produce 1 million robots a year. For 5 years. So, here we go. Listen, thank you for the time. I really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good night.
All righty. Very good. Now, here's the question I have for you folks out there. We know that soon they're going to try to replace people like us with AI. Talk radio hosts, right? I mean, if they're already trying to replace the, we've seen it where they have churches now with AI pastors in the churches. But let me ask you this. Will we also have AI audience callers that call in? Will that be AI too? What do you think?
We're already there. That's a legit thing that's already happening. I mean, I can even talk in terms of web traffic, but it's certainly for audio as well. It's all compiled numbers now, and a lot of that is made up by, I think the estimate in 2016 was 52% was artificial intelligence in 2016, and it's only grown exponentially.
So I'm wondering if any of the callers that we have calling tonight are really AI.
We'll have to put them to the test. But here's the thing, and I think it's important to remember, I don't think the big scary AI is, it's only as scary as we make it. AI has been around for decades, not as advanced as now, but it's been around for decades and it's done millions of jobs for decades, and it can be a good thing. Now we're seeing a huge increase in recreational AI and this mass hysteria of AI because of the advancements to it, but it's only going to be as successful as people make it to be. We saw them implement AI into drive-thrus and ordering, and while some kiosks do still exist, 9 out of 10 flopped. It was a huge decrease in productability. When you talk about radio, I think that's a great example because they've been trying to automate radio for decades. They've been trying to get rid of radio personalities for decades, especially big corporations. We can talk about the station down the street if we want to. They have a whole station that plays anything that's fully automated and broadcasts out of a closet. Guess what? Week after week, month after month, quarter after quarter, their revenue goes down because people are sick of it. We saw the Catholic Church institute an AI priest who does AI confessions, and they got massive backlash from their own community. AI is only going to be as successful as us, the United States citizens and citizens of the world, allow it to be.
Wow. You are quite opinionated, aren't you?
I've got one or two.
All righty. Well, we'll have to ask Pastor Hal to comment on that. What do you think about all that, Pastor Hal?
Well, he makes a lot of sense sometimes.
Just sometimes. Okay, so we're living in this strange new world, aren't we, out there? And those are, again, everything that happens and all of this stuff accumulating is all coming together as we see God's Word, the Bible, being unsealed. And all of these things it spoke about is happening here right before our eyes. And that all means that we're closer and closer to the Lord's return. We'll be back after this.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, in the hand of Jesus, He touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now this blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while it turns. Touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Well, something has happened, and now I know He touched me.
Touched me and made me whole. And boy, I've wished the Lord many times would have touched me when I needed it, but He always did. And so, anyhow, that was Brian Park. Sounded a whole lot like Elvis. You heard Brian is in a number of the songs. We've sung in a number of songs together. Anyhow, we've got Tony and Avon. Hey, Tony, you're in the air.
Avon Lake. Hi, Pastor. Yep. I'm from Avon Lake. Well, and the last time I called, you know, I didn't fall asleep. But anyhow, you know, what's going on now is 1,000 times more worse than Watergate.
I know.
And,
it's amazing.
You know, from my previous calls, you know, like in 2008 when Obama says 5 days away from fundamentally transforming America.
Remember that? I remember.
Well, when Mandani won, he said Mandani and Sandberg are the future of the Democrat Party. Well, there's your fundamental transformation, right?
Well, you know what Obama did. Obama, when he did that, he first of all he corrupted all of our intelligence agency. He corrupted our military. He corrupted Congress. I mean, at that point, you still had some actual Democrats. You have no more Democrats. They're gone. They're all communists today. The very few that are left, like the senator out of Pennsylvania, but he transformed by placing the very worst kind of people possible in positions of authority in our government. And you saw what he did. He made sure old Joe Biden took over for him. Remember, Obama created Antifa. Obama created ISIS. Obama, you know, did as much as he could to undermine America. He was an enemy of America, an enemy of freedom. And then Biden just came in and took over where he left over. The idea was that Hillary was supposed to do that, but she never got the chance. But anyhow, thanks, Tony. Let's go to Massachusetts and Jeff.
Oh, thank you very much, Pastor Sanders. Well, I was looking at some Theodore Roosevelt quotes, and the man's one of my heroes. And if you read his quotes on what he had on immigration, he would never be president. The media would absolutely rip him apart as a right-wing fascist. And this man was a conservationist. He was an environmentalist, and he was a conservative, and so forth. And why am I saying this? Because he talks about there is no room in this country for hyphenated Americanism. And what does this have to do with veterans? Everything. If we ever have World War III in America, particularly on our soil, where I live in Chelsea, which is mostly migrants, they will be gone. The city will be empty. They'll be back in their home countries watching the World War III on American soil from their home countries and maybe laughing at us while we get destroyed. That's what you're dealing with here. People would not want to join the military if we had a draft. You would see so many draft dodgers, and this would be under Trump and so forth. And what do you think, Pastor?
Well, you know, right now we have some integrity back in our military. You know, Biden made everything dirty between Obama and Biden. Everything that they touched became dirty. Everything that is called liberal out there today or the left is dirty. You know, I mean, from top to bottom, it's unclean. But today, their quotas, I mean, they in the very first 2 months of the year, they already reached, and the Army reached their quotas for the entire year. People were joining back up after Biden got out and after, you know, they got rid of woke and DEI in the military got rid of the drag queens, got rid of those that were up there, those that were betraying us. I mean, we had some really bad people in office, and I praise the good Lord in the military that many of them got rid of, that they were purged out because Obama had put those men in there. And so, anyhow.
You know, I'll wrap it up with this. What you're saying is absolutely true, but because of the tons and tons of migrants that are coming in and so forth, it literally creates a fifth column in this country. And a lot of people are joining the military so they can learn the military tactics so they can bite us in our rear end when the time is right, just like the Trojan horse. So I'm a little bit I have a little bit more mixed feelings about this than you do, but I wish for the best and I hope for the best and prepare for the worst. God bless you and have a good one.
You too. Thanks. No, believe me, I'm completely and totally aware of the sleeper cells that we have in our military. I mean, in the military, you know, they're aware that they're there too. What do we have?
We have Carolyn in Illinois.
Let's go to Illinois with Carolyn. Carolyn, you're in the air.
Thank you. Hi, Pastor Ernie and everyone. I'm calling because I have a question. If America gets rid of all the people in our country that don't have citizenship, will all our troubles be gone?
No, but I can tell you this. That's the point is that you want to send those back, especially those criminals. You know, Obama brought in, or Biden brought in over 13,000 murderers that were convicted murderers, and many of them of several murders. He brought them into this country, and then an additional over 14,000 corrected convicted rapists he brought into this country, and so that's where you want to start, right there. But getting rid of all the people, no, because you have. Right now, there's an estimated 45 to 50 million illegal aliens in this country. 45 to 50 million. And that's over 300, and that is part of 330 million people in this country right now. Those are the ones that we know about, okay? But let me tell you, to get rid of those will help. Like, for example, in cities like Chicago, and then less than 10% of the criminals create, the gang members create 90% of the crimes. So there you go.
But I'm talking about our representatives in our what a shame to have to say that. But I'm talking about the people who are supposedly running our country.
Well, what's happened out there, again, you've got, it seems like you've got the worst of the worst that have run. The Democratic Party has become so totally corrupted.
Exactly.
You know, if we could deport them, you know, I think that Trump would get a lot of support if he did that.
Absolutely, you know. And the Screamers would be the first to go.
Yeah. You know, this whole idea of, you know, the profanity and, you know, and again, I was just, it's going over into some of the mainstream media today now, but like today they showed these two on Fox News, and there was another, I was watching it, another article on an Eminent where they're actually trying to have complete, in other words, sentences where every word they use is profanity. I mean, it's not, how sick is that? I mean, this is a it's amazing. And
yes, it is. But we have to target where they're coming from and who they are. And I really believe they don't have citizenship. I believe they've come from all over. And some of the main representatives of our country are not citizens. How could they want to do what's best for the people? They don't. They don't want to do what's best for us.
So no, they don't.
Let's target them. Let's look at who they are that don't even belong in this country and are represented. They're representing us in Congress, in the Senate, in the House. They're just not real. That's real AI. That's the AI we need to take care of.
I hear you. Well, listen, thanks for calling. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor, and I love your program. It's good to hear truth.
Well, thank you so much for those kind words.
God bless. They're
encouraging. God bless. Bye. Pastor Al, it's time for you to do your thing.
Okay, first of all, I want to say Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there today. And I hope you went to some restaurant where they gave you a good free meal and enjoyed yourself with your families. And again, thanks a lot. The country appreciates you. And so anyway, I'm going to get right into the message because time is short. And the good news is that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins and mine, so that we can go to heaven when we die. See, God loves you, and he wants you to come to heaven. That's a fact. But he says your sins cannot come with you. He hates your sins. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died on that cross, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. God the Father was allowing Jesus to transfer every sin you've ever done, no matter how bad it's been or how many, onto his son Jesus. And when Jesus died on that cross, after going through all kinds of incredible pain and suffering beyond description, he said, it is finished. That was telling us that what he did on that cross was accepted by God the Father as payment in full for our sins, not his sins, because he didn't have any sin. But now, for that to become yours, you have to reach out and receive it. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So, you know, it's like a gift. If somebody presents a gift to you, all you have to do is reach out and receive it. Now, if they try to force it on you, it wouldn't be a gift. And if you could earn it like you do a paycheck, it wouldn't be a gift either. It'd be a wage. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved, that means saved from hell, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot do any work that's going to help you get to heaven. You can't add to what Jesus did for you, and you can't take away from it. If you go to heaven when you die, it's going to be because Jesus made the way for you to get there. He paid with his sin, his blood on that cross for your sins. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's a lot of religions out there where they try and tell you you join them and you'll get to heaven. They try and tell you that Mary or Peter or Paul or some saint that lived before you did, or, you know, a lot of times some churches will call people saints that never made it to heaven. They call them saints because they followed their phony way of trying to earn their way to heaven instead of going through the blood of Christ and salvation by faith and faith alone. And so, you know, you're not a saint until you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. In fact, Paul even addressed the people in Corinth, the church of Corinth. Now here, this was a backslid church in 1 Corinthians. They accepted some character there that was carrying on backslid and everything. And Paul really rebuked them. But before, when he opened up the book of Corinthians, he said to the saints in Corinth. Now, why did he call this church the saints when they needed rebuked? It's simply because that at a point in time, they received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the moment they received Jesus Christ as their Savior, repenting of their sins and asked Jesus to come into their heart, God said they're saints from that point on. You're a saint when you become a born-again Christian and nobody or anything can ever take that away from you. And so God wants you to come to heaven. Everybody that hears my voice right now, he doesn't want any of you to die and go to hell. But now if you die and go to hell, it's going to be because you thought you knew a better way to get to heaven, or you just put it off foolishly, you know, playing Russian roulette where your soul is concerned, thinking, oh, I got plenty of time, and then death could come tonight. And besides that, when you live without Jesus Christ, you're like a walking dead man or a walking dead woman. You're physically alive, but you're just like a zombie. You're spiritually dead inside. And if you died in that state, you'd go straight to hell. But God wants to give you spiritual life as well as your physical life. And, you know, the Bible says he came into the world to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. He wants to give you the joy of the Lord. He wants to give you purpose for your life. And the only way you can do that is to humble yourself at Calvary and repent of your sin. And repentance is admitting something to God he knows already anyway. That without Jesus in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners on our road to hell. But when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, being sorry about the fact that you're a sinner, Jesus comes into your heart right then and there. His Holy Spirit comes in with him and gives you a spiritual birth that's forever, right into the family of God. And at that point, you become a saint of God. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit has sealed you into the body of Christ. And so that's what God wants to do for you right now tonight. Right now tonight could be the greatest the gift you ever received in your life. If you've been simple childlike faith, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Trust in him and him only for your salvation. And so my job as a preacher is to lead you all to Christ. And if you want to be saved, say a simple prayer with me. Romans 10:13 is known as the sinner's prayer. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To call means to pray. That's you talking to God. So if you in simple childlike faith go to Jesus, repenting about the fact you're a sinner and asking him to come into your heart, he'll do it. You see, God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. And right now, he's knocking at the door of your heart, but only you can open up that door and let him come in. He's not going to force his way in. He's knocking, and he's asking you if you open up that door and ask him to come in. And he'll come in, and he'll save your soul right here and now tonight. So if you want Jesus to come into your heart, if you want to trust him and him only for your salvation, then pray this prayer and mean it with all your heart. Oh, dear God, I confess unto you that I'm a sinner, and I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, I believe that when you died on that cross of Calvary, you were paying the payment in full for every sin I've ever done. And Lord Jesus, I right here and now ask you to come into my heart. I open up the door of my heart to you and ask you to come in. Forgive me for all my sins and save my soul from hell. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. And folks, the Apostle John was preaching to people that asked Jesus to come into your heart just like you did, hearing my voice. And he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And that term, believe on, meant that you received him as your Savior, just like you did if you prayed and sincerely asked him to come into your heart. Why? It says that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may think it, wonder about it, wish you had it, but that you may know. That's 100% certain. That you have, not will get, might get someday, but you have it right now. The moment you open up your heart to Jesus.
That's right. Work out the salvation. You already have. We're out of time for tonight, but thank you so much, Pastor Hal.
Right.
And we want, I want to say thanks for being here with us tonight, all you folks out there. And until tomorrow, we want to say good night.
Good night.
I want to say God bless you all. And remember, always, always,
always, always,
keep fighting the, let's do it, fight, fight, fight,
fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.